Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Friday, September the 4th. First on today's episode, this is one of our most read stories on the website. The parents of a little girl from Medway say they're having to do homeschooling while her twin brother goes off to class, all because of a row over SEN funding. Four-year-old Lily Ward has additional needs and has been issued what's called an education, health and care plan. Now, St John's Infants in Chatham say her tuition would cost them almost £30,000 a year, but they do have a place for her. However, the local authority is suggesting a figure closer to just £9,000. Lucy has been chatting to Lily's dad, Glenn.
It's quite hard on all of us, really. Charlie's super excited, very enthusiastic about going. And Lily's quite unaware, that's sort of blissfully unaware of a lot of this, which is why we have to fight so hard. So if anything, it's quite exhausting. But yeah, it's hard going all round. It's not the easiest challenge, but we'll get there, and hopefully Lily will get the, you know, the resources she needs.
I imagine it must be a bit bittersweet, you know, that child's first day at school should be such an exciting moment. And, you know, seeing Charlie in his school uniform and everything, you know, it must be quite emotional not having Lily be able to go to school as well.
Oh, definitely. It's sort of a parent's dream to you know, we'd book the day off. We'll make a big thing about it. We'll drop Charlie off, but it would only be complete, I suppose, if we got to do the same with Lily. And yes, we'll make whatever day her first day a special day, but everyone else is enjoying it. It's the conversations with our friends and our families to share, and the conversation always seems to be more about Charlie, because Charlie gets to sort of achieve many more things because they're open to him.
And you said it's been exhausting, this battle to try and get Lily a school place. I mean, as parents, how's it kind of impacted you?
The many nights of reading and not talking to each other, it kind of isolates you, simply because you've got to learn so much. There's so much communication. There's a lot of emails, a lot of speaking to different professionals and gathering different information. And of course, both of us work. So within the working hours, we're sort of separated. And then even when it comes to home time, mum looks after the children whilst I'm sat in front of emails. And once the children go to bed, she's then rereading them emails and we're discussing it before we send them out. So yeah, it's tiring, but it takes time away from the people that we're actually advocating for, really. And yeah, it's a hard toll on the family.
And the issue is all around funding, is that right?
Yeah, the vast majority of our argument is funding. There is some more on the EHCP centrally, but the biggest point here, the biggest question is the funding. St John's have needed just short of £30,000. They've gone through and looked at all of her needs. And we've been awarded band 4, which equates to 9,000. So there's a big deficit there. And at the moment, that'll be for the school to pick up. And that's quite a shame.
And it must be frustrating, these sort of barriers to getting your child an education.
Oh, most certainly. And it seems that there's a barrier put in the way for each and every stage. We requested an EHCP in January. That was denied because the local authority felt that she didn't meet them needs. So we had to go all the way to tribunal for that. And the local authority sort of gave in before we finally met court, which was great news. And we thought we had sort of finished that and we were going to move on and she was going to be able to start school. And it was going to be, you know, we'd finished that fight. But as soon as the EHCP was issued and we started discussing funding with the school and the local authority, we realised there were further problems that we now needed to challenge. Yeah.
And so what's the plan then with Lily at the moment? Is it homeschooling?
So, yeah, at the moment it's very fresh at the moment just because schools have finally gone back this week. So we've luckily been able to have a lot more communication with St John's. They have offered for her to start Monday. because they themselves have already employed another teaching assistant to assist Lily, and she will be going in a specialised class. So that the school is really trying. In fact, that they've spent essentially money that they don't have just yet from the funding. So we're in talks with them, but we're also in talks with the local authority, because the point is the funding should always be in place on day one. Lilybug's no experiment. She needs all of the resources in place from the day she starts, and that's every child, regardless of need in Medway. That's how this should be.
Well, we've had this statement through from Medway Council.
Like local authorities across the country, Medway is seeing an increasing demand for SEND support. Funding decisions are based on an assessment of the child's needs, and we continue to work with families and schools to ensure children receive appropriate support. We support the idea that children and young people's education needs are best met in local mainstream settings. Nevertheless, we remain in discussion with the school and family in this case, and will assess the situation to ensure appropriate support and funding is available. As this concerns an individual child, we cannot comment further.
Staying with education, and a Kent head teacher says he's been forced to sell a minibus and equipment after ending up in £500,000 worth of debt due to a funding dispute. The Far Academy in Whitstable supports vulnerable children and has been in a battle with the county council over how much the authority should pay per student. The school is due to reopen later this month, but is continuing to take out loans. KCC say the situation is being managed through solicitors.
Kent Online News.
A candlelit vigil is taking place in Maidstone later to show support for those affected by flash floods in Nepal. More than 1,000 people have died in the disaster and many more are still missing. Crowds are expected to gather at Jubilee Square from 6:30 to honour victims and survivors. Meantime, a vigil's also planned for a dad who died in a stabbing in Ramsgate. Ashley Jones was attacked on Harbour Street in the early hours of the morning last month and passed away in hospital. A man's been charged with murder. A memorial will take place in the town centre at midday. Jobs are at risk at the UK's biggest paper mill in Sittingbourne, which is planning to shut down one of its machines. The Kemsley site was built in 1924 and makes a variety of paper and cardboard-based products. The owners want to invest £20 million into another machine and a warning of changes to the workforce. Work has started on a slimmed-down version of Operation Brock on the M20. It'll see the start of the contraflow moved away from Junction 8 for Leeds Castle in a bid to ease pressure on nearby villages on the A20. Now, capacity will also be reduced from 2,000 lorries to 1,700, but we're told it won't be used until the full rollout of the EU's entry-exit system, just in case it leads to any delays. Now, next on today's episode, we can hear from a Kent woman who was born and grew up in the county, but fears she's on borrowed time because she's not legally a British citizen. Megan Jones was born in 1994, but at the time, her mum, who'd arrived in the country from America, didn't have indefinite leave to remain. The healthcare assistant who works at the QEQM has never had a passport, so has been unable to travel abroad. Megan has been telling us more about her situation.
I don't have British citizenship because my mum and my biological father weren't married when I was born. So even if he was on my birth certificate and they weren't married, I would still take my mum's nationality. She is American. She came over here when she was three. At some point, it should have been registered to the States that she had children outside of the States, but that wasn't common knowledge. She didn't know she had to do that. Now it's a problem because I'm not even recognised by the States either. So I'm currently what they call stateless. I was born here. I've spent my whole 31 years here. I've gone to school here, primary school, secondary school. I've had all, like, my doctor's record, like everything that you can think of, I've had here. I've never left the country at all. I've had jobs here. I now work for the NHS. My son's here, so it's literally everything. My whole life is tied here. Up until now, it's not really done too much, but because I've looked into it and I've sent various emails to loads of people, I could potentially flag up on the immigration system. So it kind of, it sounds a bit silly, but it kind of feels like I'm on borrowed time, because I could apply for anything and it can flag up that I'm not a citizen here. So it could potentially mean deportation. It's been quite a long process to try and figure out where I stand and what I can do. But ultimately, I just need to apply for citizenship.
Kent Online reports.
You're soon going to have to pay to use a car park in Ashford during the evening when it was previously free. Council bosses are imposing a £1 flat rate overnight charge for Elwick Place. It'll be in force from 4pm until 8am, starting in November. A man who dumped potentially dangerous waste near a farm in Kent has been prosecuted. Mercier Mamai left commercial rubbish on Redmond's Lane in Shoreham before fly-tipping on the same night on Bats Road in Cobham. The 45-year-old from Erith has been given a suspended prison sentence and ordered to pay £1,500 in compensation. He'll also have to do 150 hours of unpaid work. Elsewhere, there are calls to increase CCTV at several fly-tipping hotspots in Maidstone. Yelstead Lane in Boxley Downs and Burberry Lane in Leeds are the worst hit areas, with more than £15,000 worth of fines issued for rubbish dumped there in the last year. Council bosses say they've deployed 47 cameras across the borough to catch offenders and will continue with robust action. Some really sad news now. A baby boy from Sittingbourne who was born with a very rare condition which sees some of the organs develop outside of the body has died just days after being allowed home from hospital. Luca Hayes had several operations after arriving 7 weeks early in May and was discharged last month, but deteriorated 5 days later. Mum and Dad Charlie and Demi say they're heartbroken but will treasure the time they had with him. And Charlie told us on a previous episode of the podcast about the condition his son was born with.
It's quite a rare condition. Not a lot of people get it. It's the first time I've heard of it. It's basically where inside of the womb his belly didn't form properly. So all of his bowels and intestines were outside of his belly. We was told that it was quite a simple case, but when he was born, we found out that it wasn't a simple case, and he had pretty much all of his bowels outside of his body.
Our thoughts are very much with Charlie and Demi and their wider family. Plans for nearly 50 retirement homes have been unveiled as part of the second phase of a development in Cox Heath. Country House Homes want to build the bungalows on land off Heath Road. Last summer, their initial plans for 85 properties on a pear orchard were given the go-ahead, despite concerns over traffic. A dad from Medway has thanked paramedics who saved his life after he mistook a heart attack for indigestion. Robert Frazier was cleaning his car when he started to feel unwell at his home in Lordswood, and his wife called 999. Ambulance crews had to restart his heart 5 times on the way to hospital. He's now been fitted with a stent. Developers are going to help fund a rewilding project near Tenterden by building biodiversity units to offset the impact of new construction. Havendon Farm is creating a 170-acre habitat at their site between Biddenden and St Michael's. Housing companies are putting thousands of pounds towards the project, which will include meadows, native hedgerow and orchards. And a temporary theatre set up in Dartford is preparing to host its final performance later. Shows have been taking place at Orchard West since the town's original theatre building was forced to close when potentially dangerous rack concrete was found in 2023. It's now undergone a multi-million pound refurb and is due to reopen in December.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and the Gillingham boss has praised the team behind the scenes at Priestfield for their summer recruitment. After releasing 16 players at the end of last season and selling another 3, they've brought in 15 and signed 3 academy youngsters. Well, our sport reporter Luke Cordell has been speaking to manager Gareth Ainsworth about their summer transfers and a very busy transfer deadline day.
Going up on the bus on the Monday, it's amazing the amount of players that come out last minute, and that's why transfer window deadline is so chaos. You know, people say, why isn't it done in a month earlier? Why don't you do all your work in June and July? It's just because things change day by day and hour by hour, and clubs are trying to get a player in, and that releases a player that can come out. And so you get, I must have had 50 messages from agents and clubs saying, do you want this player? And are there free agents? Do you want this? Do you want that? This has come available. And then we have to sift through these, put them all into the recruitment. Everyone has to have their say on them, a deep dive on injury history, playing history, who they are, what they are. We're getting all sorts, Croatians and everything, you know, put to us. And it's just a bit chaotic, but it's about keeping calm and keeping sort of focused in the chaos and having a bit of a laugh with it as well. We always made sure nothing ever got us down, and we were quite, you know, jovial about it. And on the Tuesday morning, I woke up to a few text messages from the recruitment saying, can you look at this player? Can you look at that player? Cash your eye here. So I was in the coffee shop opposite the hotel watching players on the videos and trying to prepare for the game in the evening, but still cast my eyes over players. And then the recruitment team turned up at the hotel because we all wanted to be together on deadline day, and there was more talk about recruiting and more phone calls. And what we go through is unbelievable, because you can only have five loans in your squad. So then you start juggling between loans and permanents and permanents and loans and how many you can do and what positions you want to do them in. And it's not as easy as it looks. But I think sometimes the real key is going, right, no, move on, and not maybe, because you can't maybe on deadline day. It's got to be no, yes, this one, that one. And I have to say that the aforementioned people, all those who I mentioned, they were brilliant for me. You know, even Kelly's texting us at like 11 o'clock last night saying he's registered, all ready to go for Saturday and things like that. It's just brilliant. So he's done really well. And I'm sure Brad and Shannon were watching it with excitement over in the States, and I've got a call later with Brad to go through it all and explain about how it went. But it was a really productive day, and I'm really pleased we got the players in we got in.
The Jills travel to newly promoted Rochdale in League Two this weekend, still looking for their first win of the season. Staying with football, and London City Lionesses get their Women's Super League campaign underway later. The side, who trained near Aylesford, finished sixth in the table last season and have made a number of summer signings. They're taking on Manchester United tonight. Kickoff is at 7. And in cricket, Kent were in a strong position heading into day 3 of their county championship match against Worcestershire. Sam Northeast led the charge at Canterbury yesterday. The hosts were due to resume today on 197 for 3 in their second innings, a lead of 218 runs. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And whilst you're on the website today, don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker, and head to the What's On pages for details of everything going on in the county. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.